Now, when it comes to Jeremiah, people will say to me, but Jeremiah wasn't a young man. I mean, he was a prophet, one of the major prophets in the Bible. But if we get to chapter 1, it's interesting what we read. So I would like us to read a few verses. We're going to read from verse 4, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, and we're going to go up to verse 10. Before we do that, though, let's have a word of prayer. Father, it's such a privilege to come to you this morning, to have your word so that we can study your word, read your word, understand your word through your Holy Spirit that enables us to understand your word. And Father, we want to pray this morning specifically as we look at the life of Jeremiah, specifically right there in the beginning when you called him. Pray, Father, please open up our hearts and minds to understand your word, to receive your word, and enable me as your servant to teach your word, so that we may walk out of this building edified, but also ready for your call, ready to be obedient. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, I nearly didn't have my sermon with me. Stefan had to turn around and go back and get it at home, because I left it at home. So that would have been an interesting one to do the sermon without my notes. Right, Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 4 says the following. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And then said I, this is Jeremiah replying to God's call. He says, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and wherever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Amazing words. Amazing. And this is Jeremiah speaking and saying how he was called by God. And it's interesting when you read how Jeremiah is called, he is obviously not afraid to say something about himself. The fact that he was full of excuses. Well, we read about one excuse here. But he had an excuse when God called him. I still remember quite a few years ago in 1979. I was about to turn 14 years old. When the Lord touched my life, I fell on my knees, repented of my sin, and God saved me by his grace. I was 14 years old. Little did I know that later on the Lord would call me into full-time ministry. At that specific stage, all I knew was I was a sinner on my way to hell and I needed a Savior. That's what I knew. And I knew that my sin was standing between me and God. That's it. I came back from school, by the way. Nothing serious, nothing extraordinary happened. I just knew as I got home that I was lost. And I believe that's the sovereign work of God in my life at that specific stage. And I remember we had a subject called biblical studies at school. It no longer exists. I remember I enjoyed it so much. There was something that was stirred up inside of me. I loved the Word. I loved the Lord. I loved to know more about the Bible. The fellow pupils, my fellow pupils, they didn't like that subject too much, but it was one of those subjects that you didn't have to put a lot in to get good marks, so they didn't really care about it. But I loved it. I think the Lord was already preparing me as a teenager. But if you read what God says to Jeremiah, it was actually before my birth that God was already ordaining me to be in full-time ministry. Because God calls. God is the one who causes us to be born. And he is the one who calls us for his purpose and for his plan. And he does that before we were even born, before we were even conceived. That's the amazing thing about God. Now, there are some excellent examples in Scripture where God called young people specifically into ministry. You will recall David, Samuel, just to name a few, and then Jeremiah. You know, before his birth, he was already called. Before God caused him to have the breath of life in him, physical life, God already called him as a prophet to the nations. And I believe that God still calls young people today. The thing is, some just plainly refuse to listen. Others refuse to respond to God's call, and others hear, but they have excuses, just like Jeremiah. And they can pile up those excuses, let me tell you. So what we're going to do this morning is just to spend a few moments looking at the life of Jeremiah. And then, God willing, next week we're going to look at somebody else's example, because I want you to see the complete difference between these two young people. Jeremiah, on the one hand, having an excuse, and the person we're going to look at next week who embraced God's calling. But by the way, at the end of the day, Jeremiah also embraced God's calling. He became a prophet to the nations, and we know he was the weeping prophet there. Now, Jeremiah is called as a prophet. Now, in Old Testament terms, that means that he was supposed to be a spokesperson for God. God would speak to Jeremiah, and then Jeremiah had to go to the people of Israel, speak to them, and God had to go to the nations if God called him to the nations. But Jeremiah was called as a spokesman for God. That's what it means to be a prophet unto the Lord. The Bible teaches us that God is not caught off guard. He's not caught by surprise when a baby is born. We don't know whether it's going to be a boy or girl, especially those days when you didn't have sonars. You wouldn't know if it's a boy or a girl. You would just wait for the package to arrive, and then you know, all right, this was a boy or a girl, that kind of thing. God is not caught off guard. God knows exactly what he's doing. You see, because God the Almighty knows everything. It's not by chance that a child is born. God knows that child before the child is even born. He knows the year, the month, the day, the hour, the minute, the second that child would take his or her first breath. He knows who the father and the mother is going to be. He knows where that child will be born, which country, which town, which suburb, which home that child is going to stay. God knows all of those things in advance. That's why God could call Jeremiah in advance. Because God knows what he's going to do with those he gives the privilege to become alive, to receive the breath of life. Because we need to remember, God doesn't only want to use those who are saved. God wants to use everybody, because everybody is supposed to submit themselves to the Creator. People don't, we know that. People are disobedient, they don't listen to God, but they are supposed to submit themselves to the Creator because He created them. But the thing is, God knows every little detail about our lives. Nothing passes by God without God knowing about it. And then we need to understand that it's God who allows us to be born. It's not a given. God is in control. The world might say, no, 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 it's science. It's medical science. These things just happen. No, 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 that's not true. God is in control. God is sovereign over the birth of a child. God is the one who allows us to be born. And when he does, it's for a purpose. It's for a reason that people are born in this earth. The first reason, let's say the general reason, is so that every single human being on the face of this planet that is born, that receives the breath of life as a gift from God, will glorify him. That is the first and foremost purpose for every single individual. That's why people are born. Obviously, people don't do that. Because they are enemies of God. They hate God. They love their sin more than they love God, so they will not worship God. But that is God's intention. When God created human beings, it was for them to glorify Him. That's His purpose. That's the first one. But that's not all. God also creates people for a specific purpose, which means God wants to use people for specific things on this earth. And in the life of Jeremiah, obviously it was for Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations. Now, when it comes to Jeremiah, look at verse 4 and 5 again quickly. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." So when God formed Jeremiah in the womb of his mother, it wasn't something that Jeremiah's mother and father decided. No, 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 no. It wasn't by chance that Jeremiah was born. God knew Jeremiah before his birth. God called him before he was born. God already had a purpose for Jeremiah's life. And God already had a calling on Jeremiah's life. And remember, it was God who called Jeremiah and appointed him as a prophet to the nations. Not just one nation, not just Israel, but the nations. God called him. All right, and I believe it's a massive privilege when the creator of the universe gives life to a human being for a purpose. Amazing stuff. And once we realize that, I think our attitude in life changes. We don't take life for granted anymore. There's so many people who live life they just live it. No purpose. No reason. When in fact, God created human beings for a specific purpose. As I said, first to glorify Him, but also to fulfill His purposes and His plans on this earth. Now, what was Jeremiah's response to God's calling on his life? Did he accept God's call, you know, with gladness and immediately started walking in obedience to God's call? Nope. That's not what the text tells us. Unfortunately, the answer is no. When God called Jeremiah, he had an excuse. Look at verse 6. And this is what amazes me, is Jeremiah himself talks about his own excuse that he gave to God. At least he's honest when he writes this, I believe. I mean, he does it under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he's honest. Because when he gave the excuse, it was a lame one. By the way, we're going to look at it a little bit more. But in verse 6 he says, "Then I," that's Jeremiah speaking, "said, O Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. Lord, I don't know how to speak on your behalf. I don't know how to be a representative for you on this earth. I don't know, because I'm too young. I'm still a young person. I can't do that." You see, it was this classic excuse, but a lame one, to be very honest with you. A lame excuse. I mean, I remember when I started experiencing God's call on my life to full-time ministry. One of the problems I had, I said this to you many years ago. Let me just repeat it. I have a problem reading in front of a lot of people. I stutter and I struggle to read in front of people. And that was kind of my excuse. When I was at school, that would be my lowest marks, is when we did public reading, you know, when we had to stand in front of the class and read a piece of a book or part of a book, but unprepared. I couldn't do that. I stuttered. I really struggled with that. And when God called me and I said, oops, God is calling me into full-time ministry, the first thing, my first excuse was, but I can't read. I can't read in front of people. Now you want me to go and stand on a pulpit and preach to a lot of people and read out of the Bible to all these people? And then, by the way, I got to read from my own notes. And I miss words and all kinds of stuff like that. So I had my excuse. just like Jeremiah had his excuse. And what happens is, young people today, I believe, also have their excuses. You know, like, my friends at school will think I'm crazy if I tell them that I want to work for the Lord full time, or I want to go into ministry, or I want to do what God wants me to do. I don't care about what people think, to become a lawyer or a doctor or a whatever. I don't care about those things. I am seeking God's face on what He wants for my life. My friends will think I'm crazy. So when young people are confronted with God's call on their life, they will easily use their friends at school as an excuse. What would they think of me? And by the way, it's not just young people now, it's older people as well. When God calls somebody to minister or to minister on His behalf, a lot of different excuses come up. There are obviously this excuse, oh, I'm too busy. I've got so much that I have to do. They might even say, I'm not ready for this kind of responsibility because I don't know enough about the Bible. I need to first study the Bible more so then I can start minister for the Lord. Does these things sound familiar? By the way, all of these are lame excuses. You see, the problem is that young people and older people, our lives, or people's lives, are so filled with school and college and university and extracurricular activities and TVs and computers and games and social media and cell phones and name it. Filled with so many things, so many distractions, that the last thing that people think of is, what does God want for my life? What is God's purpose for my life? There is a mindset today that young people must do all the cool stuff in their life while they're still young. Because when they're older, they won't be able to do that. So, pump it, booty, as much of the good stuff as you can because you're still young. And it's interesting how the older people will encourage the young people to go and do all the cool stuff while they're young. Because they will say, you know, when I'm older and I can't do all those kind of things anymore and you can't do, you must have done it all. So enjoy your young life. Where the opposite is true. God calls Jeremiah as a young person from before birth to be an instrument in His hands. And obviously God will start preparing Jeremiah for His purpose and His plan for Jeremiah's life. Now, what is interesting is, I believe that the understanding of people that you need to enjoy your, you know, do all the cool stuff while you're still young and you still can do those things is because they have a wrong understanding of who God is. They have a wrong understanding of God's call on people's lives. And God's demand, if I can say that, because He can demand things because He's the Creator. He's in charge, not us. Not our parents, God is. You see, God is the giver of life. He has the ultimate say over our lives. When God allows a child to be born, He has a purpose for that child. And I believe it's the purpose of parents to guide their children to find that purpose. Not to go and study at university, be pumped full of a lot of nonsense, like evolutionary theory and all these kind of rubbish that they are pumping out of universities now because you've got to get a good job and got to get a lot of money and so that you can get a good car and a good house and all that kind of thing. That's not what parents are supposed to teach their children. They're supposed to teach their children how to find God's purpose for their lives in the first place and then do what God wants them to do. They need to teach their children how to be obedient to God, and especially when God calls. And I'm not just talking about full-time ministry. This morning we are going to induct deacons. That's a call. confirmed by the church. It's got to do with God's calling on my life. What does God want for my life? Not what my parents want and what my grandparents want and what the world wants and whatever. No, what does God want? Because God ultimately is the one who has the final say, because He is God. He's creator. He gave me the breath of life. And because He gave me the breath of life, He has the final say over my life. I believe that's important in our lives. I believe the important thing is that every young person should acknowledge God's authority over their lives and then do as He instructs. And I believe that parents need to teach their children to obey God, to listen to God, to do what God wants them to do. All right, back to Jeremiah. So Jeremiah makes this excuse to when God calls him as a prophet to the nations. And instead of acknowledging God's ultimate authority over his life and his choices, he comes up with this lame excuse that he cannot speak on God's behalf because he's too young. Am I using the right word when I say it's a lame excuse? Yeah, it's a lame excuse now. It's amazing how many young people follow in the footsteps of Jeremiah when it comes to excuses. I mean, he was a brilliant excuse maker. And many young people follow in his footsteps. There are young people who make excuses why they cannot spend time in prayer and Bible study to find God's purpose for their lives because they're too busy. And make excuses for sharing the gospel and finding out if that is what God wants them to do. They have excuses for not reading good biblical sound doctrine books and listen to good sermons. They have excuses for not being involved in the life of the church, the ministry of the church. They have excuses for not listening to their parents when they give them good biblical sound advice. They rather follow what their friends think and what their friends want and what the world expects from them instead of listening to godly parents. So, I mean, if you listen to young people, you will hear numerous excuses when it comes to the things of the Lord. But when it comes to their own stuff, wow, they make time, man. They will make time. They will do all the cool stuff. They will do it. They will make sure that they make time for it. But when it comes to the things of God, wow, very reluctant. And by the way, that's not only applicable to young people. That applies to everyone. Doesn't matter what age we are. Now, beloved, when God called Jeremiah, he had his excuse ready. It's as if maybe he had his trump card. That's got nothing to do with Donald Trump in America, no? He had his trump card ready. So, if God calls me, I've got my excuse ready. It's as if it was predetermined. What am I going to say? If God decides to call me, what am I going to say? I mean, I don't think I want to be a prophet. I mean, to be a prophet for God, to be a spokesman for God is lame, man, because people don't like you. They love the false prophets. But if I want to be a true prophet, or I need to be a true prophet for God, the people are going to hate me. Look at verse 7. This is his excuse. I read it before. Let's just read it again. No, sorry. Listen to God's response. I've already read his excuse. Now, the fact that he's young and he cannot speak on God's behalf because he's too young. This is God's response in verse 7. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. I'm putting some emphasis in there. I'm dramatizing a little. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. You see? God is not coming to Jeremiah and say, Jeremiah, please, I need you. You are still young. You've got your whole life ahead of you, and you've got so much energy. I really need you to come and work for me full time. Please, Jeremiah. I will do whatever you want, Jeremiah, so that you can just come and work for me. Please, Jeremiah, I need you. You must have heard this from TV preachers nowadays. No? God needs us. It's nonsense. God needs no one. If we don't do what God calls us to do, the rocks, the stones will cry it out. Because everything belongs to the Lord. God is creator. God is sovereign. God is almighty. God is the one who gave life. So God's response to Jeremiah's lame excuse is that he will do what God tells him to do. And you can kind of read in there, even if God has to force him to do it, he will do it. And the reason? Because God is God. Jeremiah is the human being that was created, not God. But you see, the problem is that Jeremiah had a few problems that he had to kind of be confronted with. So God says to him, do not say, I am only a youth. So it's clear that God wasn't going to play Jeremiah's game here. Because normally what happens is, if somebody gives an excuse, let's say for example, the parents tell the children, listen, you go and do this. And then the child comes up with this lame excuse. And guess who normally backs up? The parents. If the child throws a little tantrum, or a big one, then the parents normally back off. Because nowadays we don't have obedient children anymore, we have obedient parents. No? You've heard that before. Yeah, now the parents are obedient to the children because the children has all the power and has their rights and all this kind of stuff. And the parents who brought them into this world has nothing. But let's not go there. But I want you to hear, because at the end of the day, God was not going to play Jeremiah's game here. You see, Jeremiah is not God's playmate, because God is God. He is the creator. Jeremiah is his creation. God kind of has to remind Jeremiah who's boss here. This is just the other side of God now that we normally don't want to look at. We don't want to look at God as this almighty, powerful being that can demand things from us. We don't like to look at God like that. We don't want to see God as this old gray beard, long hair, softy guy that loves, and that's the way we look at God. He's all love and kuchiku, all this kind of thing. No, this is not how God responds to Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, you will do what I tell you. And kind of he says it because God has all authority to do that. Because he is God. He's the creator of the universe. He formed Jeremiah in his mother's womb. And if he's the one who formed Jeremiah in his mother's womb, that means that God has the final say over Jeremiah's life. He's the one who gave Jeremiah breath, and he can take his breath away. God is the one that is ultimate in authority. It's kind of, who does Jeremiah think he is to come up with a lame excuse like this when the almighty creator of the universe calls him? Who does he think he is? The arrogance. Amazing. Yet that's what we see. Now remember that in the book of Jeremiah, it doesn't go into detail. So I'm kind of reading between the lines because that is the attitude of this man. This young man that says, no, I've got an excuse. Because there are four things that Jeremiah had a problem with in his life. The first one is, that's why he gave this lame excuse. So I believe it was because He didn't understand God's authority at all, and he did not submit to God's authority. In fact, he challenged God's authority. He kind of came into God's face. I will challenge your authority. God, who do you think you are to call me? Don't you understand that I cannot talk on your behalf? I'm still young. Kind of, God, who gave you the authority to tell me what to do? Can you see that attitude? Because that's the problem with Jeremiah. That's his kind of attitude. Because if he didn't have this attitude, he would never ever give the excuse to God. But because he had this attitude, challenging God's authority, this is what he could say in God's face without blinking an eye. Praise God. If you continue to read the book of Jeremiah, you will see that Jeremiah changes his mind quickly. And things change a lot. But we'll get there just now. So that's the first thing. He gives this lame excuse because he was challenging God's authority. You see, Jeremiah most probably wanted to do his own thing. He had his own plans. And his plans did not include being a prophet of God. I mean, wow. Who wants to be a prophet of God? Who wants to speak on behalf of God? That's a lame job, man. Doesn't pay well, by the way. Doesn't pay well at all. But let me tell you, the eternal benefits are out of this world. Amazing. So that's the first thing that Jeremiah had a problem with. The second one, why he gave this lame excuse, I believe, is that he was questioning God's sovereignty. You can say that Jeremiah was saying, God, I am too young to speak on your behalf. Do you really know what you're doing? Don't you have the wrong guy here? There's another guy that can, he's got a big mouth, man. He can talk a lot. Do you think you've got the right person to speak on your behalf? Choose him, God. You rather get that guy. Don't get me. I'm not that person. And it's all because Jeremiah missed the fact that God is sovereign. He is in sovereign control. He is master. He is Lord. And he can do and say whatever pleases him. Maybe Jeremiah just wanted to do some youth stuff still. No? So in challenging God and giving this excuse, he's telling God, listen, God, I think I can make better choices over my life than you. I think it's a much better thing for me to become a lawyer or a doctor or interior decorator. Got you. I'm joking. Than being a prophet, being a spokesperson for the Almighty God. No, man. Mm-mm. You see, Lord, you don't understand. We're living in a sophisticated world where we got to have a job for us to be able to live. Nah. And I got to make a good living, which means I got to make a lot of money. I got to go and study hard, and I got to work hard. And Lord, there's just not time to do what you want me to do. And by the way, because prophets don't get so much, that's not the thing I want to do. Get somebody else. I just want you to kind of, I'm dramatizing this because I want you to get the attitude of this man. But later on, when you get to Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 5 and 6, we hear Jeremiah when he prophesies over Israel. And he says the following, that God can do whatever he pleases and whenever it pleases him because he is God. We read the following. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel. Remember, this is now Jeremiah speaking. Now he says, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Jeremiah becoming the spokesperson of God, saying to Israel, hey, God is the potter, you are the clay, and God is going to mold you. He's going to do with you what pleases him. So you see this attitude change. He's now a spokesperson for God. Now, in chapter 64, verse 8, it echoes the same principle where we read, but now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hands. He changed his attitude, from being the one that gives an excuse. God, you somebody else, I'm still young. Ooh, no, Lord, you are the potter, I'm the clay, you do with me whatever you want. Because you're God. But not only do what you want with me, you can do what you want with Israel, because Israel belongs to you. In fact, God, not just Israel, but all the nations of the earth, because all the nations of the earth belongs to you. You do whatever you want with them, Lord. The question is, does God have the right to tell his creation what he wants done and then expects them to do what he commands them to do? Does God have the right? Of course he has. He's God. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. See, God is not our playmate. God is God. Is God love? Obviously, he's love. Yes, he is. Does he love us? Yes, he does. That he gave the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, to die for our sins? Yes, he did. God is everything. He's the embodiment of what is good. But God is not our playmate. God is God. You see, Jeremiah questioned God's sovereignty. Especially when he gave that lame excuse. You can just see it. You can just feel it as you read those words. But praise the Lord, we see how Jeremiah obeyed God and stopped challenging God's sovereignty, but rather submitted to God's sovereignty over his life. And then third, Jeremiah gave this lame excuse. And maybe this one will surprise you, but he was actually showing that he's a rebel. And he's stubborn. He's a stubborn rebel. That's why he came up with this excuse, this lame excuse. Now, 1 Samuel 15:23 says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. You see, rebellion is sin. Stubbornness is a sin. It violates the holiness of God. That's why children who were stubborn and children who were rebellious were stoned to death in the Old Testament. Because God would not allow rebellious young people among the people of Israel. Because a rebellious young person is a dangerous person for society. It normally destroys society. Because a rebellious young person grows up to be a rebellious adult. That's the reality. By the way, do I say that young people must be stoned to death? I'm not saying that, okay? That's what happened in the Old Testament. Because to God, rebellion is like witchcraft. And stubbornness, idolatry. Why is it idolatry? If you are stubborn and you will not do what God wants you to do, who is your God? You are. That's idolatry. And God doesn't allow idolatry. God doesn't allow witchcraft. It's an abomination in God's sight. God destroyed nations through the years because of that. Now we say, oh, but God is not doing the same thing. We are under God's grace. Wait for the wrath of God. It's coming. It's going to come over this earth, and God is going to destroy this earth with what? With fire. God is not one that we can play around with. And then fourthly, when Jeremiah gave this lame excuse, he was showing his deep-rooted selfishness. And it's amazing if you read what the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in his letter. He speaks about the last days, what would be one of the great signs about the last days. That would be the last days now, from the time when Jesus ascended into heaven until he returns. That would be the last days. But we will see this increase as we see the return of Christ draw closer and closer. What would be one of those signs, one of those things that we will see among people is selfishness. People will be lovers, that's the words, will be lovers of self. And this is what we see in Jeremiah. Lord, I can't speak on your behalf because I'm still young. Oh, so Jeremiah, you don't want to do what God wants you to do, but you will do what you want to do. That just drips of selfishness, doesn't it? Yeah, just you can just see it. It just pours out of him. He's so self-centered, so selfish. Everything is about him. Not about what God wants. No, God can wait, man. What God wants is not important. What I want is important. So I'll come up with my excuse so that I can get God off my back, so I can do my own thing. And unfortunately, we see it in so many young people's lives today. We also see it in older people's lives, unfortunately. And by the way, the reason why the young people act the way they do is because of the example they have received. Eh? You know that children mimic their parents? They say they don't, but they do. You see, for Jeremiah, it was all about himself. He didn't really care about what God wanted. He wanted what he wanted, and that's it. He didn't want to be a prophet, most probably. And he believed that his excuse would get him off the hook. And in making his lame excuse, Jeremiah was saying that he wanted to do his own thing. He wanted to do things when he wanted to do them. He wanted to do things the way he wanted to do them. And nobody was going to tell him what to do. And the way that he could get out of it was to give God this lame excuse. You see, his actions was the actions of a rebellious, stubborn young man who refused to submit to the authority and the sovereignty of the Creator of the universe. And I believe that we should ask ourselves the question, do we make excuses when the Lord calls us to ministry? Do we make excuses like Jeremiah did? See, the thing is, who are we to make excuses when God commands? Because that's what God does. God doesn't call and say, please, I need you. That's not the way God calls. And let me tell you, I've spoken to many people who have been called and who disobeyed God's call in their lives. And later on, they end up in ministry. And how do they end up in ministry? Through heartache. Because they would not submit to God's call. Because God is God and He can command. And we need to obey. We indebted to him. He's not indebted to us. Now, with all that being said, there's a lot of tough stuff that I've just shared with you. But I believe that's the reality we see in Jeremiah's life. In one short sentence, there's so much that we can see about the attitude of this young man. When he comes up with this lame excuse. But in the book of Jeremiah, in the first chapter, we see something of the grace of God. And this is the most beautiful part. When we look at his stubbornness and his rebellion, and we see these things about Jeremiah that really is awful, then it's kind of negative, but wow, it's amazing when God not reacts in the way that we expect him in the first place. You remember the rebuke that God gave him? You will do what I tell you. But then God does something amazing in the life of Jeremiah. So God commands him, listen to verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Remember that chances are that Jeremiah really couldn't speak on God's behalf. No? Because he's young, he wasn't experienced. How in the world is he going to speak on behalf of the Almighty God? How in the world can he do that? So for Jeremiah, obviously his excuse was a legitimate excuse in a sense. Even though God still commands him, you're going to do what I tell you. And now we see God's grace at work in verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over kingdoms. Before God used Jeremiah, he first touched his mouth. He first placed his words in Jeremiah. And then God appointed him as a prophet. You see, God is the one who enables. And that's the thing that people get completely wrong when it comes to God's calling. We think, oh, Lord, you're calling me to be a mouthpiece for you, to evangelize the world, to speak out on your behalf, to tell people about your word. I can't do that. You're dead right. You're dead right. Because if you do, and you try to do it in your own strength and with your own fancy words, you're going to mess up. That's the reality. So God is the one who enables. When God calls, he is the one who enables. God will not expect anything from us that he will not enable us to do. Did I read the Bible this morning? Yes. Do you think it's because I'm all of a sudden capable of reading well? No, I got to read through a text a few times just to make sure that I've got it. But who enables me to do it? It's God. Because he called me to speak on his behalf. God is the enabler, and that's where his grace comes in. I think someone said, God's call will never lead you to where his grace cannot sustain you. God always gives the grace, always gives the means when he calls us so that we can do what he wants us to do, what he calls us and what he commands us to do. The question is, will I be obedient to his call? Will I do what he calls me to do? That's the question. And I think that's the challenge. Because as far as I think I'm 100% correct when I say the following, that we were all born. We were all conceived. I hope that everybody in this building has been born again, which means you had your first birth when you came out of your mother. But I hope there's a second birth, which is a spiritual birth, when the Holy Spirit made you alive for Christ to start living for him. So I hope that everybody has been born again. But we have all been born. We've all been created by God in the sense of God allowed us to receive the breath of life so that we can be alive. And God has a purpose for each one of our lives. Each one. You might not be called as a prophet to the nations like Jeremiah was. You might not be called as a pastor in front of a church. You might not be called as the deacons, as the deacons will be inducted this morning. But God has a calling on your life. And he commands you to find out what it is so that you can be obedient to him. Because he's God. He's the creator. And he expects you to be obedient. But then the wonderful thing is he will enable you to do what he expects you to do. He will not leave you and say, all right, now in your own strength you go and do it. People normally mess up when they do it in their own strength and their own power and within their own abilities. That's why he places his Holy Spirit inside of us that enables us to do what he calls us to do. And this is what God says to Jeremiah in verse 10. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Verse 8, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. You see, Jeremiah can rely on God completely, not just in part, completely, because God will enable him to do what God has called him to do. So let me conclude with this short application. Do you realize that God formed you in your mother's womb for a purpose? Do you realize that? Do you realize that God can demand your obedience to him? Do you realize that he consecrated you and called you to fulfill his purposes and his plans in the first place? Do you realize that he will be with you and enable you to do whatever he wants you to do? Because he's the enabler. He's the one who enables those he calls. Don't do what Jeremiah did. Don't be stubborn. Don't come up with excuses. Rather go into your inner room and find out what God wants you to do and go and do what he wants you to do. Because there's always a blessing connected to obedience. Always. Answer immediately and then set out to do what God wants you to do. The question is, will you listen and obey God when he calls you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you this morning, knowing that you are the one who calls. But thank you so much that we can know that you are the one who enables those that you call to do what you want us to do. And I want to pray for each one of us this morning, for us to spend time with you, your word, in prayer, to find out what the purpose is for us to be alive. What do you want us to do, Lord? Each person individually, so that we can go out and do what you want us to do in and through the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray for young people this morning. Those who profess to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray, Father, that they will bow their knees before you and be obedient to you in the first place. And I pray for those who have not yet come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, will you please draw them to yourself with cords of love, and so that they can repent and turn by faith to Jesus Christ and him alone. May that be true, Father. So that at the end of the day, you may be glorified in and through our lives. As we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.